Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and this week we are talking about children in worship. And you know, we've had a lot of great guests, and we have great guests lined up for today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University. For more information about them, visit our sponsor section on KFUO.org, and you can learn more about Concordia University. Well, so far on the show, you've heard a lot from my perspective, and my perspective is just that. So I thought we could add some depth to the program today. So we're adding something a little bit different, adding someone else's perspective. Thought we would invite a guest co-host today. So who would make a better guest co-host than a professional mom, right? A mom with an education background. So today we've invited Kim Scheibel with us today to be our guest co-host. She's an educator, a wife, and mother of three amazing and beautiful children. So thanks for joining us today, Kim.
Thanks for having me.
And then today our topic today is My First Hymnal, which is a resource from Concordia Publishing House. So here in studio, we also have with us Reverend David Johnson joining us. Thanks for joining us today, Pastor Johnson.
Thank you.
So My First Hymnal is a resource that came out, how long ago did that come out? A little over a year?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. And we started using it in our congregation a while back, and a friend of mine pointed me to it on Facebook, and I was just elated when I saw it online and just went crazy over it, got some copies of it, and got it for some of the folks in our church. But I really want to go back to the how it began. Where did the concept for My First Hymnal begin?
The concept for My First Hymnal was the result of conversations with our librarian at Concordia Publishing House, Jean Bowie, as well as the music staff at Concordia. We were trying to conceive of an idea that was educational to lead children into the singing of the resources of Lutheran Service Book, not just the hymnody, but portions of the liturgy and the prayers, and to give them a visual resource that kind of presents what hymnody and liturgy is all about. And that is to kind of infuse Jesus into the life of God's singing people, whether they're old or young. And so the idea was to not create a cute hymnal just for little children, but rather something with depth, some color, some breath, to kind of introduce to them everything that we could about Jesus, about the life of the church, about the seasons of the church year.
So you wanted something that was solid, not, like you said, not something that was just cute, but something that really passed on the language, the culture of the church, the our faith. How is it different from other children's hymnals or things that we've maybe had in the past?
A lot of times when it comes to children, publishers have released, you know, song books that are with cute sketches of children running around and cute sketches of children singing, and whether they're four-color graphics or whatnot. And the whole idea behind this was to do something distinctly different. So in the process of considering the development of the book, we reviewed the artistry of several artists from around the globe, and then we settled on one Payne Prophet from England to actually do all of the illustrations, because the important thing was to make sure that we had an artist who understood the need for communicating graphically, engagingly, but not watered down in anywhere, not to make it cute and or cartoon like.
And that was something I think that we noticed about the artwork right away when we picked it up, was that the artwork it's not cartoony. It's more iconic, I guess, if you will. How would you describe it?
We wanted something that had sustainability, that would be timeless in many ways, so that generations who would use the hymnal, you know, this is art that's going to be around for a long time. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it's really not going to ever be dated, as they say.
Mm-hmm. How go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask how you chose the hymns. Because one thing that I really liked was after having the hymnal for a few weeks and using it in Sunday school, when my three-year-old came out and opened it, and granted she can't read, but she pretends to read. She's a pre-reader. And she started belting out Lift High the Cross. And I just thought that was, you know, really, really cool as a mom to see my kids singing hymns that we sing in church as well. And not just, of course, they know, you know, like Jesus Loves Me and some of those ones that you learn in Sunday school anyways. But how did you choose those other hymns to go along with the common ones that all kids know?
We went through a process of listing all hymns that we thought as an editor or developer that children might be interested in. Primarily, the resources were from Lutheran Service Book or previously published Lutheran hymns and hymnals. Then we vetted the process by taking this composite list and providing that to music educators in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as well as people on staff at Concordia Publishing House, people on staff at Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, as well as Concordia Seminary St. Louis, so that we would have a composite of preferences and ideas from faculty, educators, parents, and grandparents, because we realized that children are not going to purchase the book, but parents right. would be purchasing the book for their families. Pastors would be considering it. Musicians will be considering it for their churches. So we paid attention to all of those surveys that came back. And for instance, sometimes a hymn would come up that we did not have on the list, and we would heavily weight that if in fact more than one or two people actually asked for that hymn. So yeah. It was a cooperative effort.
And another thing I liked about how you formatted it was that you didn't necessarily put 4, 5, 6 verses of the hymn in there. You just put, you know, 2 or 3, you know, that are not necessarily the most important, but however you decided to use those 2 or 3, but that way it's not so overwhelming.
It wasn't 8 stanzas. Of-
yeah.
Right, right. Well, that was intentional because we didn't want to overburden parents or make hymnody unapproachable for children to right. memorize or to sing. So it was just kind of a process of looking at what stanzas to use and not to use too many. But also in terms of making those selections, it was we have the geography of 1 or 2 pages for any one hymn. We have no more space than that. And then you also wanted to pick and choose hymn stanzas that were the most graphic so that the illustrations could support the text.
I know that in our Sunday school, we learned, as Kim mentioned, Lift High the Cross was the hymn that was the first one that they learned. And you brought up a good point as we were talking before the show. You mentioned that, you know, you have Kim has a child that's a reader and one that's not quite a reader yet. And just the way that you broke down the hymns in my first hymnal, like we would in you know, Lutheran Service Book by season. You also used colors to identify those seasons in that part in the hymnal. And so the children were really starting to pick up on that. Even the non-readers were starting to pick up on that.
Definitely.
And pick up on the artwork. And I know one of the 3-year-olds in our congregation now uses it. It knows which hymn she likes based on the pictures because she's not a reader yet. And she, you know, grabs her hymnal at home and she uses it, you know, points to which ones she wants to sing because of the artwork that's in there. So what a great way to connect even non-readers with a hymnal before they're ready to start reading. What a great resource. Now, looking at my first hymnal, I mentioned it's kind of shaped like or formatted similar to Lutheran Service Book or another hymnal. Tell us about the different sections of it. I really like how it's broken down into sections.
Well, the sections, as you bring our attention to, are really based on, you know, what is a person's experience and journey through a hymnal in our corporate worship life in church. we all see those seasons unfold from Advent through Pentecost, and then other specifications that remind us of Christian life, baptismal life, etc. And we wanted to make sure that from the beginning of the conception of the book, that the book presents the life of the church year visually as well as with the songs. There's a chart at the beginning of the book that sort of explains the journey of the church as it explores scripture and liturgy through Advent to Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, and then, of course, Easter and Pentecost. And it gives children the idea that that whole church year presents the life of Jesus from his incarnation through his crucifixion and, of course, resurrection. And so primarily it was to introduce children, as you've said, graphically, pictorially, in a beautiful way, connecting them to the church year. And then we don't follow exactly the same categories for the end of the book. We actually have some categories that are hopefully a little bit simpler for children to conceive. Like, we have a section about Jesus. We have a section about baptismal life, because we felt these were easier concepts for parents to convey and for children to understand.
I really like this, the map, if you will, the church year map in the front of it, as you were talking about, because it depicts the whole church year in a very clear way. And we actually use this probably at least twice a month, if not more, in the Sunday school at our church, to talk about what season we're in. Now that we're in Pentecost, we may not use it nearly as much, but throughout the rest of the year, especially as the seasons change, I'll open this up and use this with the Sunday school students and ask, you know, what season are we in? And amazingly, they all know.
They do.
They pick up on that very quickly, what season we're in. And it's really nice to have this graphic, this image to refer to point to, as we're telling the whole story of the church year. It's really a nice resource.
And even the actual map, you know, that it almost looks like a map, so they can follow the line to see, you know, exactly, you know, what happens next and the order of it all.
Yeah, it's a great resource. Now, after the map, then we get into, in the next few pages, we get into the Psalms, and you've selected a few Psalms to use with the family. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the things, the voice of the church is unleashed with its psalmody in song and in speech. And one of the things that wanted to teach the children is that part of that principle is in worship life, many times there's a portion of that psalm that is extracted and used as a sung refrain or an antiphon. And in a very simple way, we wanted to introduce them to that in a very simple concept. And then we just simply took a portion of the psalm and we bolded it. This way, children can see that, oh, that text appears to be differently, and I can really participate in that portion. So it's very intentional, because even in a liturgy that unfolds for the church, you have specific rubrics that the congregation engages in, and there's a font differentiation that's in the book. So we really thought about, how do we make that a subtle, intentional thing so that children, perhaps readers and non-readers, which you have spoken clearly about, even a non-reader can memorize this particular refrain or that bolded section, and you can point to it syllable by syllable and just help them engage in confessing the Psalms.
Now, are those also included in the audio CD or the iTunes version of the My First Hymnal?
No, and particularly with the Psalms selections, these are intended only for spoken responses between a leader and children.
Now, the artwork for the Psalms pages looks like a vine going around. Was there a particular story behind that? Why?
Yeah, if you kind of go through the entire book, every season has a different border on it. And particularly with the Psalms, we wanted to have, you know, imagery that conveys life, creation. And so there is this, you know, the idea that Jesus is the tree of life. Okay, so that we have this constant theme going through it, throughout the entire book, that the text is the essential, but around the border there are images that bring that text to life that are specific but also thematic to the section, either by color or by what is in the vine. If you look at the Christmas section or the Advent section, I know that we have flickering lights because what images do children see during Advent other than that Advent wreath that grows and changes every week? And so they see that also in their book. Sometimes the light is lit and sometimes it is not. But the further we get into the season, of course, there's greater light. And then when we get to the Christmas season, it might be a little too much, but like, for instance, the vine is still there and there are roses on the vine because, you know, lo how a rose are blooming. So, you know, it brings them into thinking about, well, why is that there? And the foliage changes throughout the season. And pretty soon, by the time you get to Lent, you have thorns on that vine. And then, of course, in Easter, you have lilies.
So the artwork is just, I can't get past the artwork. But so the next section after the Psalms, then we get into morning prayers and evening prayers. Tell us why you chose to include those.
Well, this resource obviously is meant for families, and we wanted to extract portions of Lutheran service book that are appropriate devotional things for fathers and parents to lead in the life of their children, and also short enough that if they are non-readers, then parents can help them memorize those small portions. And it sort of gives a pulse and kind of a liturgical framework for the day, so that, you know, if a family wants to do morning devotions, there's a morning prayer. If they want to do evening devotions, there's evening prayer. And then even at this very young age, we wanted to bring them into a bit of catechesis. And so we made sure that, you know, Luther's morning prayer, Luther's evening prayer were part of that. I use this in Sunday school as well. And I have readers and non-readers, and I do a lot of things like, okay, find the picture with the angel, the big angel, or it's page number this. So, but you have this opportunity that unfolds to really bring them into the pulse and the song and the prayer of the church at a very, very young age, at a very receptive age. And you actually are able to put this responsibility within the family to some degree, with the parents, with mothers, because they're responsible for, you know, that faith life for their children. The reason for including the confession and absolution was to kind of infuse in a family setting that sin happens. Children sin, parents sin, and there's this brief, very concise order that kind of helps that discussion, that response between confession that sin has happened and yet absolution happens because Jesus is there for us.
And as a mother, I appreciate having, for devotional time, having a resource like this to kind of guide us, you know, to start with one of the prayers. And even just speaking Luther's evening prayer or morning prayer, they pick those up after a while when you read them out loud, and then they kind of chime in with the words they know. But to not water it down too much, you know, to get them learning the important creeds and prayers early on, you know, without just kind of inventing your own devotional time. It's kind of nice to have a resource like that. Whereas an adult hymnal is a little overwhelming, you know, especially when you have little ones. I have a 1-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old. They see that and they're kind of like, oh, you know, but if we pull this out, they know it's not going to linger on too long, and it's kind of meant to be geared towards them. And so it's a nice resource to have for devotional time.
But yet they're still getting, like you said, they're still getting the solid stuff that, I guess stuff's not the appropriate word, but they're getting the solid teaching, the confessions, right. the prayers, all those things that they're going to use later on and throughout the rest of their lives as well. They're getting it with this, with the imagery really that helps them, I think, connect with it too as a child. So I really appreciate the confession and absolution in this. What a great practice to institute, you know, to start at home with mom and dad and the family. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, that not only kids sin, but mom and dad sin too. And to be able to forgive one another at home, I can't imagine how, you know, if we didn't speak the words of forgiveness in our own home, how different our marriage would be. And yeah. To have a resource like this, to have you know, just a short order of confession to use at home, how that can really strengthen a family too. Mm-hmm. For a child to see mom or dad has sinned, but not only have they made a mistake or an error or hurt somebody, but they also are confessing that sin.
Yeah, they recognize it.
And, right.
Yeah.
That they're not perfect. And I think how much more that makes us, I guess, real human beings in our families, you know, how that makes faith and this faith that we confess real for our children. It's not just lip service. They really see that mom and dad are sincere about what they say when not just on Sunday morning when they confess it, but when we speak this at home, when we speak these words of forgiveness at home. And how powerful would that be to hear words of forgiveness from your child?
Yeah.
Yes. And then, like you said, it isn't just a Sunday morning thing that we wait for. It's part of our daily living with each other.
Right. It's. I know when I first saw that in there, I thought, I wonder why they included that. And then I started reading through, and I was like, well, what a great thing to have for a family. So
we should probably use it more.
We should probably use that every day. I mean, what a great thing to have. And then after the confession, we also have the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. And I know in Sunday school, the kids have been really, they know which pages they're on, and they use those a lot as well. So,
coming from the reading teacher side, the choral reading together, like they practice in Sunday school with their hymnals, certainly the non-readers, they are kind of just looking at it, but the beginning emerging readers, you know, to have most of that memorized, because they really do have a lot of it memorized, and to see the words in print in front of them too and try to start following along from an educator standpoint, that's incredible too, to put the words to the print, you know. And what a better place to do it than church also in Sunday school.
See, I knew we brought on the right guest co-host today to bring an educator with a reading background. So you're right, you know, to have them reading together, which is unifying as a congregation too, you know, to learn to read together at home and in Sunday school. So they see that we can do that on Sunday morning too as a congregation, and how unifying it is as a congregation. We've got just a few seconds left in this segment. In our next segment, we're going to invite our listeners to call in. If you have questions or comments about My First Hymnal today, you can join the conversation in the studio at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or email us your questions and comments at family@kfuo.org. Lots of great stuff in this hymnal, My First Hymnal. It's so great to have you with us. And I know, Kim, you've got to head out here in a little bit to get back to the kids. And so, Dr. Johnson, or Reverend Johnson, great to have you with us. We're going to keep talking about My First Hymnal. Questions in just a little bit.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Scientists in Japan have made a startling announcement. They say within a year they'll be able to take a human stem cell, insert it into an animal embryo, perhaps a pig, and implant it into the animal's womb. They say it'll grow into a human organ, likely a kidney or heart, and be harvested for a patient after it matures in the host animal, which would be slaughtered. Even if the stem cell isn't from human embryo, I'm still not sure where I stand on this idea. Wesley Smith, whose specialty is ethics, says we'd also need clear assurances no animal virus would be transmitted to humans in the process. I'd like to have your opinion. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org and tell me what you think. You'll also be able to read the opinions of others.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
I'm Roland Lettner. Coming up on this weekend's edition of Studio A, the Arab Spring has turned into the Arab winter with the recent events in Egypt. What's going to come next? Why are some Mormons cheering the defeat of parts of the Defense of Marriage Act? And a review of the new film, World War Z, The Zombie Craze, continues all next time on Studio A.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
You've heard of Flat Stanley, right? You know, the little paper character your kids or grandkids had to cut out and take with them on vacation to photograph or document where Flat Stanley had gone? KFUO has a chance for you to win a Wi-Fi radio with our Flat Tower contest. No, not Flat Tire, Flat Tower. Visit our website at KFUO.org for the complete rules and to print out a picture of our radio tower. Then take our Flat Tower with you as you travel. Take pictures of the tower in far away or even nearby locations, here, there, and everywhere. The contest runs now through August 31st. At that time, staff members of KFUO will vote on our favorite entry and award that lucky winner a Wi-Fi radio. Randy will announce the winner on Monday morning, September 2nd. With this Wi-Fi radio, you can listen to KFUO anywhere in the world. Using today's technologies, KFUO continues to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world.
The pastor of a church in Sanford, Florida, is asking for prayer as a jury prepares to decide whether George Zimmerman is guilty in last year's death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin.
Racism is sin, murder is sin, regardless of whether he's guilty or innocent. We realize that what makes us one is not the color of our skin.
The Reverend Alan Brumback says his mixed-race congregation at Central Baptist Church isn't praying either for Zimmerman's conviction or acquittal, but for justice and for God's peace and reconciliation in Sanford following the verdict. What does he plan to preach on Sunday?
The irony of this is I'm doing a series on the Ten Commandments, and we are at number 6, Thou Shalt Not Kill.
But he notes that Jesus said,
you may not outwardly kill somebody, but in your heart you may murder them. So all of us struggle with hatred, and all of us at one point in our life are murderers in the eyes of God. And the good news is that Jesus died to save murderers.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Thank you.
back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and joining me in the studio today is Reverend David Johnson from Concordia Publishing House, and we're talking about My First Hymnal and teaching children the language of the church, the hymnody of the church at home with this great resource called My First Hymnal. So we'd like to have you join the conversation today as well. You can call us in the studio at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 if you're outside of the St. Louis area, or you can email us your questions and comments at family@kfuo.org. So before the break, we kind of went through the hymnal, My First Hymnal, piece by piece, looking at each section and talking about all the great resources there within the hymnal. Are there additional things to go with My First Hymnal, accessories or other parts?
Yes, we have several different editions that help complement the experience of using My First Hymnal. Online, we have some downloadable percussion parts, which are primarily used for handheld percussion instruments or ORF instruments, providing simple patterns. Should this be used in a classroom setting or even a home setting, there's always, for select hymns, there are some rhythmic patterns and some melodic patterns that you can use on top of singing the hymnal itself, the hymn. One of the other things that we did shortly after producing My First Hymnal is we engaged in a recording project so that all of the hymns are recorded on accompaniment only or with voices. Should you be a family that would like to simply sing along with a simplified accompaniment, or if you're a child or a group of children that get encouraged by hearing other children sing, those are also available.
And they match up with the stanzas that are in My First Hymnal, the selected stanzas.
Yes. We're very specific about that. We made sure that the recordings are specific to My First Hymnal, so they only represent the stanzas that are printed and used in the resource. Those particular in a CD format, those are available from Concordia Publishing House, but they are also now available on iTunes in four separate albums, or you can buy any one of the tracks individually.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I first found them, was on iTunes. I was actually specifically looking for the hymns for a certain season, and then came across My First Hymnal there on iTunes and was thrilled to have it there. How accessible, you know, you can take it with you in the car, you can have it at home. What a great resource to have.
We kind of realized that this is for grandkids and children. Grandparents are going to relate to CDs, and parents are going to relate to the possibility of finding them on iTunes. So we're trying to appease the masses with all kinds of multimedia expressions.
Sure, yeah. What a great resource. And then additional resources.
The other thing that we did, and this is sort of after the fact, and this was inspired by our managing editor in the music area, is that the accompaniments you can draw from Lutheran Service Book primarily, and then we decided, well, this is supposed to be My First Hymnal, so why not create an accompaniment edition for My First Hymnal that is specifically designed for children to play? So we enlisted Elizabeth Grimpo from Concordia University, Nebraska, to create a pedagogically correct edition that minimizes the movements in the left hand, particularly for children, and then provides fingering so that a child who's studying piano could help lead a small children's group and enjoy accompanying the hymns in a very simplified format.
Mm-hmm. Or even using it for their piano lessons, or yes, using it at home for family times at home as well. And I know Professor Grimpo, or Dr. Grimpo, she's a very talented individual. So what a blessing to have her working on this project. How long does it take for a project like that, for, you know, just the accompaniment edition alone?
Well, the accompaniment edition, it was a matter of setting up the specifications and the requirements, and then through an editorial process and whatnot. So Elizabeth was just extremely responsive. I would say it was about 3 months for her production side of it, another 3 to 4 months for our side to make sure that editorially it was done. And then all the design issues, and et cetera, were also completed.
What a great resource. So we've got the accompaniment edition, the percussion score, the CDs and iTunes. Anything else in the works that that you see down the road, or ideas that, we could look for?
Well, we're trying to consider the accessibility for My First Hymn to be a click, play, and sing experience. That, for a variety of reasons, is it's definitely feasible in this wealth of digital materials and digital access through phones and through iPads and tablets and whatnot. So we continue to explore trying to secure and figure out a way to allow children to click and play just by having that the kind of that wedding of the audio side as well as the visual side.
So are you thinking that thinking an app or a device, or
we're primarily thinking of access through a device and trying to figure out how to negotiate all of that both from an imaginative standpoint, an editing standpoint, a creativity standpoint, and of course, a copyright standpoint.
That's a complex process, I'm sure.
It is.
And speaking of the complexities of this, any idea of how many people it took, how many people were involved in this whole process and contributed to just My First Hymnal?
Well, we had a consultation of many educators, grandparents, parents, as well as a team of editors at Concordia Publishing House, myself and a couple of others, as well as a team of artists, really, that helped Payne Prophet along in terms of understanding the various specific requests that I had, communicating them clearly, and then going through a process of trying to make and definitively making those illustrations extremely vivid and meaningful. So there was a team of artists headed by Tammy Bishop over at Concordia that also dealt with vetting out all the submissions for each and every page and each and every layout.
So it's a pretty big undertaking, and it really, you know, it shows in this work that there was a lot of work that went into it, and it's a great resource. Earlier in the first segment, we were talking about children learning the creed and the Luther's morning prayer and evening prayer and those things, really preparing them to for congregational life and for strengthening them as their part in congregational life and using Lutheran service book down the road or learning how to use Lutheran service book while they're using My First Hymnal. Do you have a time frame in mind? I know we talked about kindergarten and seven-year-olds in that kind of range. Who is there a specific age range that this is ideal for?
We really target children that are non-readers at that early age because it's such a visual book, as well as early readers all the way to about second or third grade, possibly as late as age 10. But by that time, we really hope and think that they will be acclimated to the use of a hymnal and be encouraged parentally or pastorally to actually start experiencing the use of their corporate book, Lutheran service book, in the life of their worship.
And I can see how it could be very easy to make that transition or to use both at the same time, as Kim was mentioning earlier, you know, that the kids could identify things from one to the other. So what a great resource. What kind of feedback have you gotten on My First Hymnal?
The feedback has been very, very good, that it has needed to happen for years, for decades, for something of this quality and this it's very intentional because it extracts things from a common repertoire, and it extracts hymns that are child friendly, but they're not childish. They are part of the corpus of the song of the entire church. So you find in my first hymnal a variety of hymns that are child-friendly and memorable because of perhaps a focused, smaller text and a melody that is just extremely vibrant, and so they can grab hold of that. But then, you know, it's not something that's going to be lost. It's not something that they're just going to sing when they're 3, 4, 5, or 6. They're going to be singing these hymns for a lifetime. So it was a matter of extracting from the hymnody of the broader church, mm-hmm. the confession, the liturgy of the broader church. So what that they learn and consume and understand will last with them for an entire lifetime.
So it's something that they're growing into rather than something they're growing out of.
That would be very good. Very well said.
I can't take credit for that. We talked with Dr. Barbara Resch yesterday about children and music and worship, and that was one of the points that she made, was that there's such value in teaching children the language and the culture of the church through the hymnody, and so that they are a part of that worship life of the congregation, and that they're learning hymnody at a young age so that it'll last them their entire lives, all the way until, you know, till the end of our lives on this earth, when quite often our minds fail us and the other things that, you know, the day-to-day things we forget, but the things that we learned as a child, such as hymns and prayers and the creeds, to be able to have those throughout our entire lives and retain those, especially in those last moments of our lives. What a great gift you can give a child by teaching them these things. And
that's a lot. We talk about the hymns a lot, but that's why we've extracted specific portions of the liturgy, of the unending voice of the church through the creeds and through the Lord's Prayer. For pastors who visit the sick and the shut-in, many times those people grab hold of a memory that can only perhaps remember the Lord's Prayer, or only perhaps remember or grab hold of the Apostles' Creed. And so why not encourage the longevity of these texts, because these are the anchors of a faith that can be unendlessly voiced for the life of the Christian.
Excellent. Well, if you would like to join the conversation with us in the studio today, you can give us a call at 314-821-0850. Tell us about your experience with My First Hymnal, or if you have questions about it, give us a call. If you're outside the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to listen to a selection from the CD collection with My First Hymnal, Lift High the Cross.
Cross the love of Christ proclaim, till
Lift High the Cross from the My First Hymnal collection, the CD collection that goes with the My First Hymnal resource. And today we're talking with Reverend David Johnson in the studio about using this with your families and your congregation. And I was thinking back to some of the stories from the families that started using it at our church. And I guess it probably was close to 2 years ago that that our congregation found out about this resource, and we decided to go ahead and order a bunch of them and include them, a blessing of these hymnals, in the Sunday morning service and actually give them to the families. We gave them specifically to the parents. We invited all the families with children in kindergarten or older up and gave the parents a copy of My First Hymnal to use for each child who was in the family at kindergarten or older to use at home for family devotions and in time in the Word, and so they could start singing the hymns and like you said, praying the liturgies that we have in our church. And one of the stories from one of the families that was very touching was after the kids had started learning some of the hymns from My First Hymnal, they had gone to visit, they had gone to the doctor actually, and they brought their hymnals with them, and they wanted to sing one of the hymns for their doctor that day, just at the doctor's visit. So what a great thing, a great tool to teach our children how to tell the good news about Jesus in simple ways. They were so excited about learning this hymn and then singing it for the folks at the doctor's office that day. It was a doctor's office they had been to regularly and gotten to know the folks there, and so they were so proud of learning this hymn and wanted to sing it for them that day. Any other stories you've gotten from folks who have used My First Hymnal?
Well, I remember the first time I used it in the Sunday school that I have a short devotional music experience for them on Sunday morning. And the first time I used it, because I have readers and non-readers in that small little group, I said, you know, go ahead and pick it by a picture. You know, if you don't read, you don't necessarily, just pick it by the picture. And I had one person that, you know, he went through the whole book and he picked the picture that was so vivid of Jesus on the cross with the soldier holding the spear, looking upon that image, because he knew about Jesus on the cross. And so that image was so important to him, and just embedded in terms of his own worship life. And so the first song that we sang in Sunday school was Lamb of God, You Take Away the Sin of the World. So it's very interesting that concurred with kind of a hymn and a liturgical song, which is so critical in the life of the Lutheran Church. I also know that there are a few churches that actually gift this to their kindergarten or first grade students in their school, mm-hmm. As a gift, and they actually imprint all of their names on them, and it's sort of a precursor to a time when each of those children receives as a gift again, like in the second or the third grade, a copy of Lutheran service book. So there are many different opportunities that people utilize to take this resource and experience it in a wide variety of means, and, you know, an opportunity to really share the song of the church in creative and vibrant ways.
So this could be a great gift for back to school this fall.
You know, absolutely.
Grandmas and grandpas could use it as a gift for back to school.
We always think of it too as a possibility for a baptismal gift. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the time before they actually read at all or perceive.
Sure.
But just think about that memory of, you know, this book in itself reminds them of their baptism consistently. So why not give it as a baptismal gift and just always have that as a reminder in the home of the song and the liturgy that children of all ages share with one another.
Excellent. Anything else that you would recommend for families for teaching the faith at home? You know, My First Hymnal and everything that comes with it. What a great resource. Anything else that comes to mind that you can think of that would help families teach the faith at home and the language of the church?
There's a resource at Concordia, I think it's called Children in Worship, that it kind of leads children into the worship life of the church. It's possibly another great devotional possibility for homes. And then always look for opportunities to use either Lutheran Service Book independently, or any kind of visual resource, or an arch book, or something on those lines that just definitely graphically as well as textually grab children into the story and the unfolding of the life of Jesus, our Savior.
Excellent. Well, thank you for walking us through My First Hymnal today and pointing us to some great resources. Obviously, if someone is interested in getting a copy of My First Hymnal, they can get in touch with Concordia Publishing House. They can visit, if they're here in the St. Louis area, they can visit the store or go to the website.
CPH.org.
Okay, excellent. Or give us a call. Do you know the number? 1-800. It's on the website, cph.org. And we'll have a link to it from our website today as well, from the Faith and Family page on kfuoam.org. So thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We have really enjoyed going through My First Hymnal, listening to the hymns, and talking with you about teaching the faith at home, teaching about the worship life of the congregation and the family, all great resources. And as my wife and I are expecting our first child, you can know that we'll be using this resource. We'll be using My First Hymnal. Actually, we've already started using it a little bit at home with our son. He doesn't sing very loud yet, hasn't been born yet, so he's not singing too loud. But
he hears you.
That's right. He hears us, and we've enjoyed using it. The resource is great. Coming up next week on Faith and Family, lots of great stuff. We're going to go back to Fun and the Sun and talk about more activities for families going on this summer, that opportunities to grow in the Word, to strengthen the family. Lots of things to talk about. Monday, we're going to start with a family who spent some time at one of our Lutheran camps, Camp Luther, and actually got away from it all, set aside some time for things like what we were talking about today, being in the Word with the family and teaching and passing on the great gifts of God's Word and all that He has for us. So next week, Fun in the Sun. Thank you, Reverend Johnson, for being with us today and talking about My First Hymnal on Faith and Family. It's great to have you with us, and we hope we can have you back in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks. And we'll hear some more from My First Hymnal.